Greetings in Jesus' name to you all this morning. I was blessed to be here and hear the devotion and on family. And my topic, I originally thought I would speak on that, but I don't think I will. But I appreciated those words. I also would have enjoyed hearing what do you speak this morning, but I pray God can give me strength. My topic this morning is on being a thankful people. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. I want to read verses 11 through 19. This is on the 10 lepers. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they were obeying God. They were obeying Jesus' commandment here. But they failed to do something. Only one of them did it. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And so we find that only one of these men that were cleansed were made whole. They found cleansing. They found healing. And only one took the time to return thanks to the Lord. How easy is that for us when we find healing, when we find victory? We may think, great, now I can go on about my life and be a great person. I can do great things. But no, great things are done through Jesus. It's our duty to him to turn to him and give thanks and to praise him. I think a thankful people it's a joy for the world to see a thankful people. So many of the world are very unthankful, and that's an area that I struggle in, is being thankful. Let's turn to Psalm 107. Let's read verses 1 through 22. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now this next verse is a verse I want us to think about. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So there's several times in here. The Israelites, they were in a wilderness. They took the land, and we studied on that this morning some. That was a blessing. And it goes on to say, some sit in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and iron. They rebelled against God, and their hearts were fallen. There was none to help them but the Lord. And so I think a truly thankful people, we are going to be people of sacrifice. We will be sacrificing things of ourselves. And I have four things here. Our time, we're going to sacrifice ourselves, our words, and our heart. And I want to go through these and read some verses on them. Thanks is an expression of gratitude, as in songs or prayer. Thank offering, something is offered as an expression of gratitude. So we will be offering something to God, and that will show our thanksgiving. It can be obedience to every command that he gives us, even though it may seem silly, as we studied this morning. Too many times we want to follow our own way, and think that God's work should come in a certain manner in our lives, and sometimes God has other plans. Let's read Psalm 116. And it will show us a bit on how we can sacrifice our time. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And so we see here, I believe it's David that's writing this. He says, for all God has done for him, he is now the Lord's servant. Are we willing to say that of ourselves? Are we willing to put the Lord in control of our lives and be okay if our life doesn't turn out the way we thought it would turn out? As we see reading through God's word, God's promises, what he wants for his people are far better than what we could ever ask for ourselves. They are perfect, and he wants to supply for us, but we have to be in submission to him. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. This is on sacrificing ourselves. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we see that God's will is perfect, it's acceptable, and it's good. When he made the world, he said it was good. It was perfect. We see how long the world has lasted, and it will continue to last until the Lord comes. There's nothing that we can plan or do that would be even close to that. And so we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are not to take the forbidden fruit. What are we willing to forbear from? What can we train ourselves to be like that is not like the world? Do we guard our eyes when we're in the cities? When we see things, that is destructing to ourselves? Do we listen to things that are ungodly. There's many, many things that we could think of, I'm sure, that we could grow in. The Lord was perfectly submissive to God. He was not a man of indulging in anything. And we are to follow that example. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to look at how we can sacrifice our words. Verses 12 through 15. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so we see here that there's a verse that says to give thanks always, to be thankful in all things, and there's other verses. How can we be thankful for something that in our own minds is not good? It happened to us, and maybe we have lost a loved one, or someone has treated us terribly. Are we willing to give thanks to God? Because everything that we go through, God has created for a purpose. He has allowed it to happen to perfect us. Think of Jesus and Judas. How was Jesus able to forgive him? I think he had to have a certain amount of thankfulness for Judas. We might say, how could have our Lord been thankful for the one that would betray him? But today we look back and we see our Lord's example. And it helps us be able to find the strength and faith to forgive those that wrong us. And so possibly Jesus was thankful for him just for that aspect. So many times I find that I don't give God thanks often enough. Something happens and I'm like, that was great, I'm thankful for it, but I don't think about praising God for that. I can grow in many areas of thankfulness, and I pray that we can all grow in this. Let's move on towards sacrificing of our heart. Psalms 51. I think we all know this psalm pretty well. David is asking for remission of his sins and for God to sanctify him. Let's start in verse 15 to verse 17. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So many times when we find ourselves maybe in sin or in a way that we need to come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, for mercy, many times we're tempted probably to take the path of Saul, where he hardened his heart. And that is an unwillingness to allow God to work in our heart and to fill our heart with a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, and a total repentance of ourselves. Let's not hang on to things. Let's give it to God. Let's give our life to the Lord. The things He can do in each one of our lives is incredible. It is astounding, the miracles and the forgiveness and everything that the Lord has for us when we come to Him with a broken, contrite heart. I want to move on to Christ's thankfulness for mankind. Let's turn to John chapter 17. This is Jesus' prayer before His crucifixion. And as I read this, if we can think about a few times in here He prays for His disciples and for us. He prays for us in here also. In verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou givest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known truly, knowing surely that I came out from Thee, and they that have believed, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name, those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that this scripture might be fulfilled. I want to stop here a little bit. None of them was lost but the son of perdition. I think he's talking about Judas there. How many times do we find a Judas in our life? He comes as an angel of light or a disciple of Jesus. And his word says that the spirit in a man, it will manifest itself. How many times do we might follow someone, we might think very highly of a certain person, I think sometimes it boils down to the fact that we put more stock in a person than Jesus Christ. And I am very guilty of that. I have in the past felt that about some of my own brethren, and then I find that they're just humans. And in other things, things that seem spiritual. Books that we read. Is it of Christ or is it of the son of perdition? It may sound good. There's a lot of truth in a lot of the literature out there. But the whole word of God will judge whether it's true or not true. So let's continue in verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so we see here that he has prayed for each one of us as we become a follower of Christ. He has prayed for each single person in the world that was and ever will be. And so he was thankful. He was thankful to do the will of the Father and be the sacrifice lamb for us, so that we might have life and be raised in him, to be brought to the Father as a pure vessel. How many times do we pray for each other as our own brethren? Too many times I find myself being critical, and I forget to put them in the Lord's hands. It's something that I have to keep coming back to the Lord and just remembering that I am a human. I have a lot of weaknesses, and they do too. And so can we all come together as perfect as we possibly can for Jesus Christ. I want to read some verses in Proverbs chapter 8 as an ending here. This Proverbs is speaking on wisdom. But I feel these verses are speaking directly of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8, verses 22 through the end. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. He delighted in us before the world was even created. Isn't this amazing? He was rejoicing in the handiwork of God that was going to happen. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. How much time can we sacrifice for Jesus? Some of us may have grown up with an idea that that God or Jesus is a hard master. These verses and what we have read this morning, his prayer, says over in John, it talks about him being the good shepherd. He's a loving Savior. How much time can we spend with the Lord, waiting at his gates, leaning against the opening of his doorway, conversing with him about our life, telling him about our struggles, putting our plans in his hands? We're working on selling our property and moving closer to our church there in Perkins. And it has been a great challenge for my wife and I to trust. Many times that we have just had to get on our knees and pray for strength, for faith, and yet we still get stressed out. It's a natural thing. But waiting at the gates, conversing with our Lord, we will get much strength and blessing, I believe, if we follow these. And this list of being a sacrificial people for Christ is not exclusive. There's many more aspects. I just pray that as a people we can remember what we're here for and remember what our duty is. So let's all kneel for a word of prayer.